practice yesterday.
Yeah, Fletch should go today.
So. I know much could change between now and Sunday, but in the portion we saw yesterday, Todd Harriman was at right tackle. Why did you decide to make that move?
Todd actually played, finished the game at right tackle for us, so it's just depth purposes, and you know, we'll see. The biggest question we have is how does Matt Tobin respond to a couple days in a row of practice? So we got today of training. Yesterday, our Tuesday deal is just it's an hour. You know, we're not doing a ton of running around. It's a light day for us. So the biggest question with Matt in terms of his ability and his availability on Sunday will be how does he handle a Tuesday, how does he handle a Wednesday, how does he handle a Thursday, and then we'll go from there. But obviously, to get us some depth at the tackle spot, the next maneuver is Todd, but going back out to tackle and then bringing a guard in the game. So,
how has Tobin's adjustment been from playing tackle mostly last year to playing guard this year?
He's been great, you know, and I think a lot of the things those guys do, especially in that second O-line group, and they've got to be able to play every position. And he's handled being a guard tackle very well, kind of filling in that Allen Barbary role all for us. He would have been, barring the injury, he would have been our sixth offensive lineman. So, you know, it's good to get him back out there. But the one question we have, and especially with that type of injury, the nature of that injury, is just how does it hold up, you know, on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, and then see where he is at that point in time.
Do you find yourself having to manage the frustration, maybe from Shady, being that won the rushing title last year and his production's way down?
No, we haven't had any conversations about it. I think the one thing I know about LeSean, I think everybody loves, is he wants to win. You know, I know he knows we're 3-0. He's actually had more carries this year in the first three games than he had last year. I mean, but I think obviously the same five guys blocking for him is part of it to do with it. And you know, we got to do a better job in the run game just overall. But I think he's excited that we're 3-0. And sometimes they come in bunches. You know, they, you know, all of a sudden you can string a couple games back to back. So.
They talk about like hockey squeezing the stick and, you know, baseball player being too fine. Is there anything you see in a film where Shady maybe is trying to find the perfect total instead of taking the stick?
No, I don't see anything in terms of how LeSean has approached things. So, you know, there's a lot of times there weren't a lot of movement on Sunday, and that's just kind of what we were dealing with. So,
if there's a thought that there's things that you still want to clean up on the offense, yet you look at the overall numbers and points and the offense production. So what does this offense look like when things are, when it does hit its stride?
It's a good question. I don't know what it looks like. I just know that, you know, we're never satisfied no matter what the ultimate outcome is. There's always a chance to get better at it. There's a chance to clean up the penalty game. There's a chance to clean up individual techniques. There's a chance to clean up, you know, sometimes it's the run game, sometimes it's a pass game, sometimes it may be a drop, sometimes it may not be in a ball located in the right spot. But I don't think you've ever played a perfect game, coach a perfect game or whatever. So, and we got a bunch of guys that have the same mentality in terms of they're never really satisfied. They know that they can always do a little bit better, and that's what kind of you get excited to get back out on the field on a Wednesday and train to get you to improve yourself. So,
is it important to run the ball even on days like Sunday when you're not doing it real well?
Good question. We're not striving for balance just for the sake of balance. But I also think you just can't totally go one dimensional and say we're going to chuck it every down. There's a little bit to it in terms of if everybody in the stadium knows what you're going to do, then that makes it a lot more difficult. Obviously, they're going to scheme up a lot more pressures in terms of trying to attack your protections and get after the quarterback a little bit more. You know, sometimes a run just takes a little bit of pressure off the quarterback from a rush standpoint. You know, obviously you want to gain more yards than you did, but you know, I think the fact that not allowing them to gang up on just one aspect of it does help you. But we do need to be more productive in the run game right now.
Are you more impressed with the physical stamina your team has shown and what they did with the mental toughness that allowed them to do that?
I think it's both. I don't think you can single one out over the other, but I think the one thing, you know, I stated even to our coaches at the beginning of the year, like the group of guys we have, the only thing you didn't know going into the season is how would they handle adversity. And I think they handled it very well. You know, there's no one blinked, no one flinches in when we get in the situations that we've been in the first three games. And, you know, they know that we got to play a full 60 minutes. And, you know, that's what this league is. You know, there's very rarely is there games that are more than a one-score game. You know, I think that's what this deal is all about. So the team that can be mentally strong enough to handle that but also be physically conditioned to handle it is going to ultimately be successful. So I wouldn't pick one over the other. I think you got to have both.
What stood out to you about Harbaugh, both competing against him at the college level and maybe keeping an eye on him since he's been in the NFL?
You know, one thing about Jim, he's just won everywhere he's been. He won when he was at San Diego. He won when he was a player. He won when he's at the University of San Diego. He won when he was at Stanford. He's obviously been very, very successful. He's been with the 49ers. You know, he's just a competitor. You know, he's a grinder. He's got a passion for this game, and you know, his teams kind of reflect his personality. So.
Do you have a relationship with him at all?
Yeah, we coach against each other. I know Jim. I got a chance to visit, actually, watch 49ers practice when I was at Oregon. So, you know, you have a relationship with all the guys. You meet them at league meetings and get a chance to spend some time in the off season with them. But, you know, I don't call them during the season or text them or any of those things. But got a great deal of respect for him. He's a hell of a football coach.
The NFL's reading of the rule apparently on Chris Baker's hit was that it was legal. Did you have an opinion when you heard that, or does there need to be some sort of clarification on what
I just heard it when we were walking out here, and I'm still under the impression you can't blindside a player, whether it's a quarterback or not a quarterback, going back towards your own sideline. So I'll touch base with the league officials before we play again. So I that's news to me that's a legal hit. And I know the referee threw the flag pretty quickly and kicked him out of the game. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to reprimand the official for making that call, but everything we've taught and we know is that you can't blindside a player, no matter if it's a quarterback or not. And there's also a rule, from my understanding, is that the quarterback on a change of possession is basically a defenseless player. So, and that's in the past too. So we'll get it clarified so we don't get put in that situation in the future. But, you know, we're hands off on an interception on a quarterback just because that's the way we've interpreted the rule. So,
what stands out to you about the 49ers when you watch their first three games?
Well, what side? You know, offensively, they've got a lot of weapons. They were a little bit different in this last game. It was the first time they played a lot of five wides to start the game. You know, and I don't know if that's because Vernon Davis was out. Now, it sounds like Vernon's going to be back, and if he is back, he's a handful because he's probably the fastest tight end in this league. You know, he's got legitimate speed from the tight end spot that can stretch you. But you got a quarterback who's a dual threat guy that can hurt you both with his feet. They've called more design quarterback runs than any team we've faced in my 2 years here. So you really got to be real conscious of Cap from that situation. Two really good wide receivers in Bolden and Crabtree that can catch the ball in our physical receivers, and they're very good in the offensive line. And then on defense, they've got some guys that, you know, when you talk about the best in their position in the league with Patrick Willis and Justin Smith, that really stand out. So, you know, they're solid on both sides of the ball, really well coached. It's going to be a big challenge for us, you know, going out there. So,
Benny Logan looked like he was really active last game. Just what have you seen from him overall this season?
He really was. You know, he started off preseason camp was nicked up a little bit, but as camp went along, he really started to get acclimated. Was coming on towards the end of last year and has really kind of picked up where it was. I think our defensive coaches had him credited with 8 contacts with the ball. You know, for a nose guard, that's a lot during the course of the game. But I think, you know, Benny's year two, more comfortable, you know, not kind of looking into the stands and going, wow, I'm actually playing in the NFL. He's, you know, really dialed into the scheme. He's a smart football player, hard worker. He's stout. You know, he's kind of built the way we want him. He's a real long arm guy in there. He's got really good levers in terms of trying to keep the center off of him and then make plays. But he can hold off a center and then get off of the block and make tackles. And that's a bonus sometimes in a 3-4 defense at the nose guard position.
You said contacts at the ball before. Is that the same as tackles, or is that?
That's what we consider them. Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh's gone to the NFC Championship game his first 3 years. You know, you went to the playoffs your first year. Pete Carroll won the Super Bowl. Do you think, like, the perception of college coaches coming to the NFL is starting to change a little bit?
No. I mean, I don't lump everybody into – everybody tries to paint one brush and call everybody one thing. And so when one college coach isn't successful, college coaches can't do it. But then when a college coach is successful, college coaches can do it. I think you got to look at the individual. You know, some guys have gone into situations where they didn't – it wasn't a real attractive situation to begin with. So no matter who went in there, whether it was a college coach, an NFL assistant, a former NFL head coach, they may not have been successful. So sometimes I think it's unfair to paint either one way, saying that success is attributed to where they came from or not success is attributed to where they came from. It's just, you know, Jim's a really good football coach. Pete's a really good football coach. They'll win whether they were coaching in high school, college, or the pros. So.
Do you think more teams are the amount of time that Jeremy and Nick had to work with each other because of the injury last year and then the season before? How is that relationship going, and do you still see it growing as a player, as a quarterback and receiver?
Yeah, I think all those relationships are constantly growing, but they seem to have a little bit of connection even before I got here. You know, in Nick's rookie season when he played, when for Mike, and Jeremy was really healthy, and they had a neat connection going on then. That's why it was just so disappointing when Jeremy got banged up a year ago in training camp, because you know, you really kind of saw that, how those guys kind of connected on some things. So I think it's obviously something we need to continue to grow. We still have left some meat on the bone. There's been some times when we've missed Jeremy a couple times. I mean, he's been open in all three games we played. You know, I don't know if we've gotten him the ball enough, to be honest with you.
It seems like the jet sweep or its variants of it are being used more in the NFL. Have you noticed that? And why do you think coaches are implementing that playbook a little more?
I haven't seen it much in the three teams that we've played. I think some other teams. I think Seattle does it a lot, but we're not playing Seattle yet, so I haven't really studied their film. I know I haven't seen it a ton from San Francisco nor Washington or Jacksonville. So when we get into the season, we're kind of, you know, one game, one week, kind of focused and studying those tapes. So I'm sure we'll see it as we go down the road. I know Seattle, I got a chance to watch Seattle a little bit that first Thursday night game. You know, it was a really chance to watch football because we hadn't opened up yet, and saw a little bit of that with Percy Harvin. But Minnesota was doing the same thing with Percy. I think a lot of it is personnel driven. Do you have a player like that that you're trying to find different ways to get the ball in his hands? So,
Huff,
Huff hasn't. I mean, we haven't got a couple of days of practice out of him. So, you know, to try to say, let's start scheming things up, we need to make sure Josh can get back on the field. So,
can you talk about Nick's toughness, the resilience he showed, and the way he kept getting up and firing? How that resonates with the team, how it inspires the team?
I think players, no matter what position you are, admire toughness. You know, you look at just what this building's like when Brian Dockin shows back up. You know, I think there's an admiration for someone that's just a tough, hard-nosed football player. You know, I listen to guys that were here in the past and just talk about John Runyon, you know, in terms of what he brought to the offensive line with his toughness. And I think, you know, you've got to respect Nick. And I've said it all along. I saw him do it in college. I mean, we hit the heck out of him when we were at Oregon and he played at Arizona, and he just kept getting up and throwing and standing in there. And I think it's a very underrated quality for a quarterback. It's not something you can see at a pro day. It's not something you can see at the combine. You know, they're never getting hit. You know, they're doing everything in shorts and T-shirts and all those other things. But you really got to study the tape, and it's a quality, especially in this league, you got to have, because no matter who you are playing that position in this league, you're going to get hit. And it's a difficult deal that you're dealing with, in terms of you got some big angry people running after you and trying to take you down, and to stand in there and not worry about it and just know you're going to get hit, but you got to deliver the ball on time is a really underrated quality at that position. And right now he's really shown what I've seen all along from him. He did it in college and he did it in the pros. And I think our players here understood it. It didn't take Sunday's game for them to admire his toughness. They've seen that before from him. So.
Okay.